What's up, Steelers Nation, and welcome to the Black and Gold Fan Show, a show by a fan for the fans. I'm your host, Chris G. Here we go.
Oh, that's a hell of a show. You need to watch that on a weekly basis. I'll
check it out.
I mean, I hear it's pretty good.
What's up, Steelers Nation, and thank you for joining me for the Black and Gold Fan Show, Episode 5. Man, I'm excited. This episode should be a lot of fun. We have a lot to talk about. So let's jump right into it, man. Now, we had a big weekend. The 2024 NFL draft happened. Omar Khan and the Pittsburgh Steelers had another stellar draft. You know, we came into the draft with a plan. Get the best player available at the best position of need. The board fell just about as well as it possibly could have. I mean, since the hire of Andy Weidel, and Omar Khan, the Steelers putting together a roster of, athletic bullies. I would say athletic bullies because we have players that are physical, aggressive, big, and athletic. I mean, they were ranked third as the third most athletic class according to the RAS score. And they're also ranked the most athletic draft class according to Next Gen Stats. But we'll go through each of the draft picks. But first, please subscribe to the channel and hit that like button. Now, Silva's first pick, round one, pick 20, was Choi Fautanu, the tackle out of Washington. Now, before the draft started, there was no way I thought Fautanu was going to fall to us. I mean, he was on many big boards as a top 10 pick, one of the top tackles in the draft, one of the top players in the whole draft. So I didn't think there was any chance that Fautanu would fall all the way to 20. Now, at first, I thought Omar Khan was being patient and waiting for the board just to fall to him. But on the Pat McAfee show recently, he said that they were trying to move up to get Fautanu, but they couldn't get a deal done with any teams. Like, when they saw that he was falling, they tried to make a trade with other teams, but nobody was, there was no deal done. So I'm glad that he fell. I mean, he's an experienced player, 29 starts at left tackle, but he has 2 starts at left guard. He's said to be undersized for a tackle at 6'4", but I mean, that's not an issue because his arm length, he had an arm length of 34.5 inches, which, if you don't know, that's longer than Joe Alt, Tyler Guyton, Olaf Ashanu, and Talis Fuaga, who all went in the first round. So I'm not worried at all about Falutano's arm length. I mean, he fits right in with the top picks of this draft. So him being 6'4 is not a big issue as long as his arms are long. I mean, he is super athletic. Because they had an RAS score of 9.45, which ranked in the top 6% of all tackles from 1987 till now. Think about that. From every tackle that's been drafted or had that RAS score from 1987, he's in the top 6%. So we're getting an elite athlete. It's very good feet, quick hands. He has a great punch, it's well timed. I mean, if you watch his film, you'll see that he's special. Like in a show I did a few days ago, recapping the first round, I kept saying, just watch his tape. I mean, this kid is special. I feel like he's somebody that's going to come in and compete for that right or left tackle spot. Not sure where he's going to go, but he'll compete with Dan Moore. I anticipate him winning the job, but I mean, we'll have to see what happens during camp. Now, like, I'm not an expert on players, especially offensive linemen. I'm not a scout. I mean, I've been a coach for 10 years. I recently just stopped coaching football a few years ago, but prior to that, I was a high school coach down here in Texas for the past 10 years. So I go to other people who I trust that can evaluate players. Like, for example, I go to the NFL.com and I look at what Lance Zierlein says. I kind of agree with what he says a lot of players. Now, what he had to say about Fautanu is, ready-made brawler without an ounce of finesse to his game, Faletano has starting experience at tackle and guard and is well coached, but he will default to unruly hand fighting when his technique gets away from him, plays with an average hand placement, can be beaten by length, but his tenacity and footwork keep him connected to base blocks. He's capable of getting to reach blocks in zone and chaperoning running backs wide as a pulling guard on the next level. He's a pop and reset pass puncher who uses active hands and feet to help with extended mirroring his forced into. Faletano needs to prove he has the leverage and hand quickness to play inside, but all signs point toward him becoming a good future starter. Now, like I said, he's going to compete with Dan 1 to be that day one starter, as you know, the Steelers like to ease their rookies in, not just insert them into the starting lineup. And with Dan Moore being a three-year starter, he's not going to give up that position easy. I mean, we see how last year Broderick Jones came in, and he wasn't able to take that starting spot right away. I mean, it took him time to get into that starting lineup, and it wasn't even for Dan Moore. It was for Okorafor. I do think Faletano will earn that starting role very early in the season, if not week one. But like I said, we're going to have to wait to see how it plays out. Now the Steelers' second pick, round 2, pick 51, Zach Frazier, the center out of West Virginia. Now, again, another player I didn't expect to be on the board when he was at pick 51. I mean, there are plenty of mock drafts and analysts had Frazier going in the 40s. Some even had him going in the 30s. But again, Khan stayed patient, let the board fall to him, and it worked out in our favor. I mean, these first two picks, man, I couldn't be more excited about. We attacked positions that we needed on this offensive line. I feel we need to really focus on building this offensive line up. I mean, it's been a while since we had a dominant offensive line, and I think now we're getting back to that. Now we had there was Graham Barton was taken in round 1, and I'm thinking, okay, there's still two more centers I like that we can grab at 51. Being Jackson Powers and Frazier. And then when Jackson Powers was taken by the Raiders at 44, my thought was, okay, Khan's going to move up. You know, we got to move up, make a trade so we can make sure we get Frazier, because we don't want to leave this draft without getting one of these top centers that could possibly start day one. So as the round was going on, I'm thinking, okay, we're going to move up, Pick started falling. Going to move up. Never happened. But then, before you know it, we're at pick 51. And Frazier's still on the board. Now, I know luck plays a big part of how this board falls. But, I mean, we got to get Omar Khan and Andy Weidel, Mike Tomlin, everybody, a lot of credit. Like, for the research they've done, investigating, speaking with other teams to kind of see how the board will fall and which players will go around where. Because he sat back and let the board fall, and it fell right to our favor. Then out of it, we got a top three center in this draft. I mean, a pure center. I mean, he's a four-year starter, the first freshman to start on West Virginia's offensive line since 1980. And shout out to Wesley Euler. He's said that West Virginia's rushing offense averaged 73 yards per game the year before Frazier got there. By the time Frazier left, they averaged over 230 yards per game, which was number one in Power 5 schools. I mean, that's not all him, but he's an absolute difference maker. Think about that. Before he got there, they averaged 73 yards per game. By the time he graduated, they averaged over 230. That's wild. That is wild that, like I said, not just him, but his impact can make that much of a difference. I mean, he's a tough, physical, he's more athletic than his RAS score is, which was 7.67. I think a lot of that can be due to he broke his leg at the end of the season, which is a story in itself. If you don't know, he broke his leg against Baylor. Shout out to Baylor, Sick 'em Bears. I'm a Baylor graduate. But he broke his leg against Baylor, and instead of staying on the field, he hopped and crawled off because it was under 2 minutes. He didn't want to get that 10-second runoff. So he did whatever he could to get off the field to avoid his team taking that 10-second runoff. I mean, that's major. I mean, he's a team-first player. He had an interview where he said he didn't even think about it. It's just something he did. It's the kind of players you want in your locker room. I mean, the kind of leaders you want on your team. I mean, he has a wrestling background, which really helps him on that line, especially with his leverage, his hand usage, his ability to anchor. I mean, he's tough to move off the spot. But he's the perfect, I think he's the perfect fit for Arthur Smith's offense. Now, he can move enough. He definitely gets that second level. I'm not sure if we're going to use him to pull much, but he can get out in space and he can do some damage. Again, we'll go to Lance Zierlein said, a sawed-off frame with short arms and terrific power once he gets locked in. Frazier's lack of ideal arm length will be a problem for some evaluators and could cause him problems on the next level. Now, Frazier has a bulldozer drive strength in his lower half, but allows his hands to do too much grabbing and hugging at times. He has quick eyes and a firm punch in pass protection, but because of his lack of length and recovery ability, he's going to have issues if he's forced to protect on an island. Frazier has the potential to be a good backup or eventual starter, but he needs to play with consistent inside hands and must stay tight to his targets in order to mitigate his physical deficiencies. So, while Steelers usually don't start their rookies right away, I think Frazier's going to be a day one starter. I mean, Zierlein said he think he'll be an eventual starter, but I think he's going to come in and start right away. Now, there may be competition during camp, but I don't see anybody beating Frazier out. I mean, the only person that looks like who will be his competition will be Nate Herbig. Now, I haven't seen much of Herbig playing center, but he's not somebody that I see beating Zach Frazier out for that starting spot. And besides, we had last year, we had Mason Cole, and he wasn't doing the best, especially towards the end of the season, and there was never thought of a switch over to Nate Herbig. So I highly doubt that they would think about Nate Herbig being a starting center over a Zach Frazier. Now it's our third pick of round three. Pick 84 was Roman Wilson, wide receiver out of Michigan. Another player that got picked later than expected. I mean, I saw plenty of outlets saying that he would go in the second round. I mean, I think he's a player that, like the first two, we're just getting value. You know, that's a key word we heard of most of this draft is just value. All the players we got were just players of value. I mean, once again, Khan played the board perfect. Now, when his pick came around, my initial thought was that there were better wide receivers available. Since I've watched a little more of him, though, and since he's been picked, I see it. I mean, I see the fit. I mean, he fits what the Steelers want to do. Like I said, I thought there might have been some other receivers that I might have wanted in that spot. The way the board fell, some of those receivers fell later than expected. But, man, Roman Wilson is a Steelers type receiver. Like I said, he looks to be a perfect fit for what Arthur Smith wants to do. I like to call him Baby Hines Ward. Now, I'm not saying he's going to be the next Hines Ward, but he does have that attitude and mentality about him. I think that's a big reason why the Steelers were attracted to him. I mean, he's not as big as Hines. Wilson's only 5'11", about 185. But while at Michigan, he was in an offense that was run first. It's similar to what the Steelers want to do and what they will do. He's used to having a run block, but he embraces it. I mean, he takes pride in it. Like he's quoted saying, no block, no rock. I love that for a receiver for us. Like somebody that's going to not shy away from the dirty work. Like he's going to do whatever he can to help the team win. And he plays with an edge. He plays bigger than his size. Like I said, he's a willing and capable blocker. But, I mean, that's not all he is. And Wilson's an athletic player. He has an RAS score of 8.59. He has great speed as he ran 4.39 at the combine. Great hands catcher. Like, he's not not too much of a body catcher. He's going to catch the ball with his hands. Like, he snatches the ball out the air. He's not afraid to run through traffic. He's great with contested catches. And he's able to make combat catches. He's not as scared of contact. I mean, he's not afraid to hit. He's not afraid to get hit. He's not afraid to play dirty. I mean, I'm going to keep saying, it's a theme that you're going to hear throughout this, is he's a Steelers type player. But 2023 was his breakout year. You know, J.J. McCarthy was his quarterback, and he was a top 12 pick. But he didn't put up the numbers that you would expect from a top 12 pick. But you can see the production he had, throwing 22 touchdowns, but 12 of those touchdowns were to Wilson. Think about that. Over half of J.J. McCarthy's touchdown on the year were to Roman Wilson. Now, he had 48 receptions, 789 yards, and 12 touchdowns. Now, those numbers don't jump off the page, but I really believe if he had more opportunities, or if he was at a school that had a pass-first offense, that he would have been way more productive. I mean, he did the best with the opportunities he was given. Also, he's coming off a national championship team. It's always great to get players that are coming from winning programs. I mean, when you come from programs that win, I mean, you learn how to win. Like, learning how to win is a real thing. Like, there are teams that come down to games in the end where things get tight, get tough, and they don't know how to keep their composure. Sometimes the moment gets too big for them. But teams that are used to winning and winning big games, they learn how to win those big games. Again, Zerline is saying about Roman Wilson, a smooth strider with alarming speed once he touches top gear. Wilson primarily focused on attacking the intermediate and deep portions of the field, adding an explosive element to the Wolverines' ground and pound approach. Wilson is an electrifying athlete, which should push his stock up, but he'll need to learn to level up his skills getting from point A to point B as a route runner to reach his potential. Wilson has good hands and can run after the catch down the field, but he has not a really catch and go option underneath. He has a separation potential to make a quarterback's life easier and figures to continue his assertion as a starting slot talent. And that's what we like to hear, because we need a starting slot receiver. With this receiving core the way it is, we're going to need some help. And who knows who's going to bring in through a draft or through agency, but right now, Wilson is a big addition to this team. Now, another big addition is going to be our fourth pick, round 3, pick 98, Peyton Wilson, linebacker out of NC State. Now, to me, not just for the Steelers, I think this might be the steal of the draft. I mean, Peyton Wilson is arguably the best linebacker in the country. He might be the best defender in the country. That might be going a long way to say, but he's somebody that should have been a first-round draft pick, second round at the latest. I mean, he was a 2023 Buckus Award winner as the nation's top linebacker, and the Bednarik Award winner, which is the nation's top defensive player. Think about that. We got the player that won the best linebacker of the year and the top defensive player of the year at pick 98. That's almost a fourth-round pick. That is insane value. I mean, you don't find value like that. Now, he's super athletic. Now, he has an RES score of 9.89. And if you don't know, those RES scores go to a scale of 10. So he had a 9.89. Ran a 4.43 in the 40 at his combine, which is, for a linebacker, I mean, that is stupid fast. That is, I mean, you don't see that from linebackers. I mean, he has his defensive coordinator at NC State, Tony Gibson, said, no matter who we played between those white lines, he was the fastest player on the field. Now, think about that. He didn't say fastest linebacker. He didn't say fastest defender. He said, whenever on the field, no matter who they played, he was the fastest player on the field. Now you compare or combine that with a player that has a nonstop motor. I mean, he's all over the field with the Steelers attitude. Also on Cam Harris' podcast, Not Just Football, he was asked, what are the Steelers getting in Peyton Wilson? He said, a guy that if there are 75 downs played, I'm going to be out there for all 75. And I'm gonna be looking to rip somebody's head off on every one of them. You got to love it. You have to love it. As a Steelers fan, you have to love somebody's mentality as, I'm going to rip somebody's head off every single time I'm on the field, every play. And we haven't had that dog linebacker for a while now. And we've had solid play. We've had good linebackers. But we haven't had that dog for a while. Somebody that can just run sideline to sideline and just hit everything moving. See ball, get ball. I'm going to knock you out next down. Like I said, can be a three down linebacker. He's somebody that will never have to leave the field. Now, I don't think starting the year he'll be a three down linebacker. I think he'll be using like sub packages. He'll be using dime. He'll be somebody that you bring him on like knowing passing downs, or he's able to rush the quarterback until he gets more experience. But definitely a player that over time he's gonna get more and more playing time. He's able to blitz. He'll come downhill and hit you. He can play to run. He can play in zone coverage. Has the ability to match up with tight ends and running backs out of the backfield. Can cover slot receivers. And like I said again, he's able to play zone and man. I mean, there's not much not to like about him. But, I mean, his downside and the reason he was available at pick 98 are his injury history. I believe he had double-digit surgery since high school, and he doesn't have an ACL on one of his legs. Now, it may scare you, but do y'all know who else didn't have an ACL? Hines Ward. I didn't know that until learning more about Peyton Wilson, because his name kept coming up as somebody else that didn't have an ACL. And who else? TJ Watt. He was somebody in college that came out with quite an injury history. I mean, his first few years at Wisconsin, I believe he dislocated his knee like three times or something like that. Somebody that was injured quite often. I mean, he missed a season a few times, I think, before he switched over to the defensive side. And after that, I mean, he had a clean bill of health. Look how that turned out. Not saying Peyton Wilson going to be TJ Watt, but we see some of these players that have had injury histories have shown to be healthy and were able to go on and have successful careers. Now, he's been healthy this past two seasons, and he's been very productive. I mean, in his 23 games over his last 2 years, 220 total tackles. I believe he had like 138 last year alone. 30 tackles for loss, 10 and a half sacks, 4 interceptions, and a touchdown. Production. That's what you want to see. And a player that we expect to come in and play a big role, you want to see that. Somebody that can make plays all over the field. And he'll show up all over the field. Zerline says about him, Wilson's length and athletic profile could certainly push him up on the board for some teams, but his history with injuries could tamp him down his draft stock. He's free-flowing in pursuit and is at his best as a hit-and-run hunter rather than a static defender faced with a downhill blocker. He has the burst to shoot downhill and make a tackle for a loss, but lacks the demeanor or play strength to consistently leverage run fits. Wilson will find himself near the football frequently when allowed to play freely and avoid the mess in the middle. He has third down ability as a blitzer and is a talented cover man who can play zone or man coverage. Wilson has early starting potential, but scheme fit and medical reports will play a big role in his evaluation. Okay, like I said, basically he's a dog. I mean, somebody's going to come in, and when he's on the field, he's going to be productive. And I highly see him being that productive player. Now, if you liked our first four picks, go ahead and hit that like button. All right, now, the Steelers' fifth pick, round four, pick 119, Mason McCormick, guard out of South Dakota State. Now, when the Steelers first made this pick, that was kind of puzzled. I was wondering, like, why are we taking a guard? I thought we'd have gone cornerback here, because I feel like that was, at the moment, the position we needed the most. Now, don't get me wrong. I love McCormick as a player. I think he's a good player. When he gets his time, I think he'll be a good player for us. I do think he'll see the field, maybe not this year, but he's somebody that could eventually maybe become a starter for the Steelers. But as the roster stands, I didn't think we needed another guard. But as time went on, like these past couple days, when I sit back and evaluate what's going on, I started thinking, okay, James Daniels is in the last year of his contract. Isaac Seumalo will be 31 when the season starts and has 2 years left on his contract. So at each guard position, there's some uncertainty approaching with these next few years. And I said, I think Mason will probably be grooming to be an eventual starter and grow with this line. And this young offensive line, we have Broderick Jones at one of the tackles is in his second year. We have Troy Faletano, who'll be the other tackle as a rookie. And we have Zach Frazier, a center, is a rookie. Now, between James Daniels and Isaac Seumalo, we don't know what the long-term view is for them. But McCormick, man, he fits the type and personality of where this O-line wants to go. Another big athletic player. He has an RAS score of 9.96. He has a nasty demeanor. He's physical. He wants to be a bully. He's somebody that has experience. He's played 70 games in his collegiate career. He's a four-time All-American. I mean, that's the type of player you want in the fourth round. You want those players that he wasn't from a big school, but he dominated where he was. So now let's see if he can elevate that game and play at the next level. See if he can play up to his competition, which I think he can. But like I said, I don't think it's going to be right away. We have two solid guards. And we'll see what the future holds for all of them. Now Zerline says about him, he's a 3-year captain who brings an incredible amount of starting experience and toughness to the table. McCormick plays with a tightness in both his upper and lower half that shows itself when he's forced to make athletic plays. He can be forceful into first contact, but doesn't display the flexion needed to redirect his weight quickly or play with leverage at the point of attack. His clear-eyed pass protection will attract offensive line coaches, and his NFL scouting combine testing should have coaches believing that there is still much more to bring out of him as a player. Like I said, he's from a small school to dominate his competition. So we'll see, coming to the NFL, he can develop more. And so I think he can turn out to be a real good player for us. Now the Steelers' sixth round, pick 178, is Logan Lee, defensive lineman out of Iowa. Again, same theme. Another big, athletic bully. As their RAS score of 9.2. Now, Lee is somebody that can add some weight. I think he's 6'5", 280. I believe he was 290 at his pro day, which to me, that seems like that he shed weight at the combine to be able to be more athletic, to be faster than what he was all year. And him, I think he'll be mostly a depth piece. I don't see him somebody that would challenge anybody for a starting role. I can see him playing special teams. Definitely see him playing special teams. Especially with this new kickoff rule. I mean, teams are going to need bigger athletic bodies. I mean, you no longer are going to need those speedy quarterbacks or safeties flying down the field to cover kicks. When you're kicking the ball off, you have the kickoff team and the kick return team only 5 yards apart. So they're going to need just physical, athletic players that probably have more size on them to get past that front line and then make a play. Now on the defensive side, like I said, he'll primarily be a depth piece. He'll play on that defensive line. It's not somebody that'll slide out to outside linebacker. He'll just play with his hand in the dirt. This is what Carl Dunbar said. He's capable of playing all across the line, from the zero technique out to the five technique. But like I keep saying, he's going to be a depth piece, but I think it's needed. I think it's time to see if we can upgrade from Isaiah Loudermilk and DeMarvin Leal. I mean, they've been here for a couple of years now, and they haven't shown enough. I mean, Leal looks like he doesn't fit in our scheme. So I'm not sure what the plan will be for him moving forward. And Loudermilk is decent depth, but I think we can upgrade from that spot. Now with Lee, Zuerlein says he's a durable 3-year starter as an undersized defensive tackle in an aggressive Iowa front. Lee has the size and length of a 5 technique, but might not possess enough twitch and power to control blockers from that spot. He has good strength, but needs to ramp it up and doesn't have as many quick wins as teams will want. Lee's pass rush is very pedestrian, but can improve with some better handwork and training. He's a hard worker, but fails to stand out with power, quickness, or pass rush talent, which puts a firm cap on his upside. Now, I hear a lot of that. To me, it sounds like he needs to put on some weight. Being at 6'5", I think the Steelers would probably want him to get around 305, 310. So he's probably going to have to put on about another 15, 20 pounds. Now, I don't see that happening right away, but over time, I believe he'll get there. And I think he can be a solid rotational piece for us eventually. But we're going to need to get this D-line younger. Cam Hayward's getting older. Ogan Joby has been inconsistent. I'm not sure what's going to happen to him when contract time comes up. So we're going to need somebody to pair with Keanu Benton on that line to make that line dominant again. And now our last pick, our 7th pick, is in round 6, pick 195, Ryan Watts, defensive back out of Texas. So once again, going along with the same theme, big, physical, athletic players. Now, Watts is a 6'3", 208-pound corner, which I think he'll end up moving to safety. He has an RAS score of 9.12. I mean, he played corner in college. He always played corner in college, but I definitely see him moving to safety in the NFL. And what I've been hearing a lot of, that he probably will move to safety in the NFL. Also, I think he'll be a big special teams player. I mean, he's very physical. I mean, he's somebody that can hit. He'll come down, he'll hit you. He's not scared of contact. He can shed blocks. Wide receivers make solid tackles. He makes a lot of tackles for loss. He's able to blitz. He may be able to slide in that nickel spot sometimes, especially with heavy packages. But he can be a rotational piece. I see him sort of like a Trenton Thompson. Nice size safety that's physical. He also comes with a pretty good resume. I mean, he was honorable mention All Big 12 team. He was also an honorable mention All Big 12 newcomer of the year in 2022. So he's a solid player. Will be depth and mostly a special teams player to start off. But who knows? He may be able to find himself rotating on this roster. Now, Zuerlein says about him, based purely on the quarterback tape, it'll be easy to dismiss Watts as an NFL prospect. But once we fit the pieces together and project him as a safety, it challenges the evaluation. Watts simply doesn't have the quickness and agility to stay a cornerback with much success in man coverage. However, he's already built like a safety, possesses tremendous length, and the willingness to lean into aggression for the position change. Watt's measurables and demeanor will work into his favor, but his impressive NFL scouting combine testing should create additional push for his draft stock and chance of becoming a backup safety with core special teams value. And like I said, he'll be by a rotational piece or backup safety, but I do think he will play safety. I think he'll be, special teams. I think he's going to be a very good special teamer. Especially look at the Steelers, and we don't have any gunners at the moment. With Miles Boykin and Pierre, James Pierre, on other teams. We Pierre's with Washington, and Miles Boykin went to the Giants. Those were our two starting gunners. I definitely see Watts as somebody that can take one of those roles. Now, with the draft wrapped up, the job isn't finished. The Steelers started to bring in some undrafted free agents. So far, the undrafted free agents they signed are Benny Bishop, a cornerback out of West Virginia. But he was also on a pre-draft visit during their pre-draft process. Diawan Edwards, running back from Georgia. John Rhys Plumlee, quarterback, Central Florida. Julio Welskoff, linebacker, Charlotte. Jacoby Winman, a linebacker from Michigan State. And we also had some rookie camp invites. Xavier Wade from Ferris State. Jet Stanley, defensive lineman, Sacramento State. And Xavier Wade was a wide receiver from Ferris State, Bryce Shepherd, a defensive back out of Kent State. Johnny Hudson, defensive lineman, Fresno State. Sean Stevens, cornerback from Ferris State, as another player that was on a pre-draft visit. Aeneas Dennis, quarterback, Benedict College. Jacoby Whitman, linebacker, Michigan State. And Traylon Brown, center at Jacksonville State. So, overall, I think it was a great weekend for the Steelers. Like I said, many, many media outlets, professional analysts, personalities gave the Steelers an A grade for our draft class. And I agree. I give it an A. Definitely give it an A. I don't think I'd give it any less. We filled positions of need. We got great value. Like I said, almost all of our first four picks were definitely picked lower than what they were projected to go. Then we got Fowl Tano at 20, which who easily could have been a top 10, top 15 pick. We got Zach Frazier, who could have easily been a top 30 pick. Roman Wilson could have been a top 40 pick, got him at 51. And the steal of the draft to me, Peyton Wilson at 98. He could have been a first rounder. And we got high character players with a passion to play a physical brand of football. Mike Tomlin, Omar Khan, Andy Weidel. The rest of the organization, they were well prepared and they executed what they came to do. Now there's still a few holes that need to be filled, like cornerback and a wide receiver too. But just like they had a plan going into the draft, I definitely trust that they have a plan after the draft. Now the Steelers pass on some possible quarterback options, so that tells me they feel comfortable with Dante Jackson, Corey Trice, and Darius Rush. Or they have a plan to fill the rest of the room. So we'll have to wait and see what happens. There's a few vet cornerbacks on the market. If the Steelers want to go that route, you still got Stephon Gilmore's out there, Xavier Howard's there, Adoree Jackson's out there. At nickel, there's Patrick Peterson still around. Shannon Sullivan's still there, and even Cam Sutton. So I'm not sure what his situation is, but those are three players that the Steelers are very familiar with that may feel comfortable bringing him in. You also have Benny Bishop out of West Virginia. He's been getting comparisons to Mike Hilton, who the Steelers have been trying to replace for years now. Benny Bishop, he's already signed as an undrafted free agent, somebody that was on his pre-draft visit. So he's obviously somebody that the Steelers have been paying attention to and definitely shown interest in. Now, receiver, I think any and every single receiver that is an option has been brought up to or linked to the Steelers. I mean, you got Brandon Ayuk, Deebo Samuels, Cortland Sutton. Most recently, Zay Jones was released to the Jaguars, so add him to the list. I mean, the list goes on about all the receivers that are linked to the Steelers. And I think until they sign one, that list is going to continue to grow, or these names are going to continue to be brought up about who's a fit for the Steelers. So we'll just have to wait and see how that process plays out. Again, like I said, I trust Omar Khan. I trust Tomlin. I trust Weidel to make this team as best it can. Right now, I can see we're in win now mode. I think it's been enough years of mediocrity that we're at the point where we need to go for it. We need to go for it. We're tired of just missing the playoffs. Tired of having close to 500 records. Tired of getting to the playoffs and getting blasted in the first round. Let's see if we can make this run where the pieces are coming together. I feel like this team is getting in great shape. We're not where we want to be yet, but we're a lot closer than last year. Like I said, once again, man, the Steelers had a successful draft. I mean, the players that have been drafted they bring back some remnants of Steelers teams of the past. Like the common theme, big, physical, athletic bullies. So I'm excited to see what the rest of this offseason holds. Like, I know there'll be moves made. I think the Steelers have about like $20 million or so in cap space. So I know there's some of that's going to be spent. That's going to sit all back. I mean, you need to save some to sign your rookie class. You'll save some for the season, case emergency. But something's going to happen. Now, we still have Cam Hayward. I don't know if they're going to do something with his deal. Like, he says he's not going to take a pay cut. Maybe they restructure with some money around. So options are there. I don't think there's any player that's out there that's off limits. So we'll just see what happens. So, bam, make sure you hit that notification bell to stay up to date with the channel for more Steelers updates and news. Be sure to follow me on X at cgillis2021. You can find my written work at steelcurtainnetwork.com. And with that, make sure you subscribe to the channel. Please hit that like button. Make sure you comment and share the video. Until next time, stay blessed. Stay positive. Here we go.